This last week, I've been reading a book by David Platt, who used to be the director of the International Missions Board. The book is all about a trek that he took through the Himalayan mountains and the people he met whilst he was there. On the first day of his trek, this is what his guide tells him. The region we are in right now includes about 9 million people. Out of that 9 million people, there are probably less than 100 followers of Jesus. The reality is, most people here have never even heard of Jesus. This area is the birthplace of both Hinduism and Buddhism, and Christianity is hardly found anywhere. I'll be honest with you, I've had a really hard time getting those words out of my head. 9 million people and just 100 Christians. 9 million people who have never heard about Jesus. 9 million people. After 2,000 years, the gospel hasn't really reached those mountain trails. It's heartbreaking. And then I come to Psalm 117, the shortest of the Psalms, and that heartache is just compounded. This psalm focuses on the praiseworthy, loving, faithful King who deserves to be worshipped by people from every nation under the sun. It is a global psalm, and it starts with those two lines that repeat the same idea to add emphasis. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all people. God deserves to be praised and worshipped and extolled by people from all around the world. And yet in that Himalayan region, there's less than 100 Christians in a population of 9 million. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. The sad truth is that there are billions of people who don't believe in Jesus. And there are billions of people who don't even have the opportunity to hear the good news about Jesus. As we turn to Psalm 117, we're going to see two reasons why God deserves to be praised by people from around the world. My prayer is that as we look at it, we would rejoice in our praiseworthy King. But also we would have concern and care for people around the world who do not yet know him. The first thing I want us to see is that God deserves to be praised because of his love. I look at Psalm 117 again. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. The reason that the Lord deserves to be praised and extolled is because of his steadfast love. The Hebrew word in our Bibles that gets translated as steadfast love is hesed. And hesed means loving kindness or loyal love. Author Paul Miller described it as love without an exit strategy. The Israelites, as they looked back on their history, saw God's loyal, loving kindness on display most clearly in the Exodus. As God rescues his people from slavery in Egypt and binds himself to them, establishing a covenant or legally binding agreement with them at Mount Sinai. As the Israelites celebrated passing through the Red Sea, they sang to God, "In your unfailing love, in your hesed, you will lead the people you have redeemed." We see God's hesed love as we look back to the cross. Jesus' death on the cross in our place to take the punishment that we deserve for our sins is an incredible act of love. It is love without an exit strategy. Jesus loved people enough to rescue them, and the only way to rescue them was to shed his own blood. The Apostle John summed it up beautifully in his first letter. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And it's this sacrifice for sins that Revelation pictures as people from every tribe and tongue praise Jesus for the rest of forever. Let me read some of Revelation 7 to you. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." God deserves to be praised for his steadfast love. The tragedy is that he's not. When the psalmist says, all nations, all people, our thinking shouldn't be limited to the 195 countries that there are in the world. There are an estimated 17,000 people groups in the world. A people group is the largest group within which the gospel can spread as a church planting movement without encountering barriers of understanding or acceptance. Language differs between people groups and so creates a barrier to people hearing the gospel. Cultural differences can prevent people from different people groups accepting one another, and so creates a barrier for the gospel. India alone has 2,700 people groups. So when the psalmist says all nations, all peoples, don't just think India. Think the 2,700 people groups within India. Sadly, a huge number of those people groups are unreached with the gospel. The Joshua Project is an amazing organization which tracks the numbers of Christians within different people groups. They define an unreached people group as having fewer than 2% of the population being evangelical Christians, or less than 5% being any form of Christian. They claim that there are 7,410 unreached people groups in the world. That's over 3.1 billion people who have little to no chance of hearing the good news about Jesus. That is 3.1 billion people who, unless things change, will not hear about the amazing chesed love of God. That is 3.1 billion people who do not and probably won't ever praise God. That is a tragedy. If that doesn't break our hearts, then something is wrong. The second thing I want us to see is that God deserves to be praised for his faithfulness. Look again at Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And not only does God show chesed love to his people, but he also shows enduring faithfulness. We know the value of faithfulness, don't we? Not only do we long for friends and family to remain faithful, firm, and reliable, but we also probably all know the pain that a lack of faithfulness can cause. I'm sure we've all had friendships break down because of a sudden change in someone's attitude or care or interest. We know human beings are fickle and often selfish. We long for faithfulness, and yet we know even the faithfulness of our closest friends and family can waver and wobble. That's why both parts of this line are vitally important. The Lord is faithful. His loving kindness towards his people remains constant. He is loyal, even whilst his people are so often disloyal. He is faithful, even though we are so often unfaithful to him. And not only is the Lord faithful, but his faithfulness endures forever. It doesn't change. He's not faithful one minute and then forgetful the next. Unlike human beings, his faithfulness neither wavers nor wobbles. And the result is that we have security. Whatever else may change in our lives, no matter if other relationships are blighted by a lack of faithfulness, God's love for you in Christ will not and cannot change. His faithfulness to you is never in question. His loyalty to you is never in doubt. Our God is so good and so worthy to be praised. And there is no greater motivation for showing concern and compassion to unbelievers around the world than a big view of the loving and faithful God. John Piper, the American pastor and theologian, said it best. Mission is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Mission exists because worship doesn't. Well, so what? What difference does this psalm make for our lives? Well, I guess I want to give you four things about how this psalm should change the way we think and the way we act. The first is this: it should cause us to praise. We should live our whole lives for God's glory. To treasure him as precious, to sing and shout and talk about the Lord. If he's worthy of praise, he's more worthy of our time than TV or sport or social media. If he's worthy of praise, then he should be more precious to us than money or grades or success. It's not that any of those things are wrong, but we do have a tendency to care more about them than we do about God. When we spend time looking at passages like Psalm 117, it's a no-brainer. God is worthy of praise, but we are so often distracted by everyday life. If we don't get this bit right, if we fail to see that God is worthy of praise, then we'll never get the next three things right. Why not try and memorize this short psalm as a way of remembering the priority of praise? And the second thing is that we should long. If God is worthy of praise from all peoples and all nations, yet there are so many people who do not know Jesus and so many people groups who have no opportunity to hear about this praiseworthy God, well, then it follows that we should long for people around the world to hear the good news about Jesus and God's love for sinners displayed at the cross. We should care that so many people groups have no opportunity to hear about the loving, faithful God. See, concern about world mission isn't an optional extra in the Christian life. It is the natural burden and concern that overflows from seeing the praiseworthiness of God. Now, one of my favourite books is called Dispatches from the Front by Tim Kesey. He's a mission director who goes around visiting believers in all different parts of the world. About halfway through, he meets a Mongolian lady called Alice. This is what he says. Alice is working in campus evangelism and discipleship in Dalian. She made a 30-hour train ride here to accompany our little team across her homeland of Inner Mongolia, and should introduce us to Christians along the way. Tonight, before our prayer time, Alice shared how she came to faith in Christ, and with joy, she sung praises in the Mongolian tongue. That sound was sweet and clear. A winsome loneliness clung to its rhythms, like the companionship of the wind only a Mongolian shepherdess could know. What a day that will be when Mongolian voices join the choir from every tribe and nation, and all of us singing praise to the lamb that was slain. Do you long to hear voices from every tribe and tongue and nation and people group singing praises to Jesus? One of the most significant things you can do is pray. If I asked you when the last time you prayed for World Mission was, not at church, what would you say? I think the sad truth is that many of us are not regularly praying for people around the world to hear the good news about Jesus. Let me give you just two ways that you could start praying for people around the world. The Joshua Project has an app called Unreached of the Day. Each day it gives you information about an unreached people group and ideas for how to pray for them. And why not download it onto your phone and get praying that people from all people groups would hear the good news about Jesus and praise the Lord? Or you could email me and ask to receive one of the regular prayer letters our mission partners give us, and I will make sure you get hold of them. Praying for the nations is one of the most significant things you can do. But don't stop at praying. Have you ever asked yourself whether overseas mission is something you could do? Have you ever thought that you could be the answer to people's prayers for mission? Have you dared to think that you could be someone who could take the gospel to those 9 million people living in that region of the Himalayas? Or to one of the 2,700 people groups in India? The truth is, without encouragement, most of us don't give World Mission a second thought. And when we do, we can be very quick to come up with reasons why we couldn't possibly go. So why not take today as an encouragement to spend some time thinking about World Mission and praying about whether or not you could go? So there are four concrete responses to Psalm 117. Praise God. Long for more people to do the same. Pray for the world and consider going. Let's pray to end. Father God, thank you so much that you are a loving and faithful God. Thank you that you are worthy to be praised. Father, please help us to have concern for the nations. Help us to feel a heartache at so many people who neither know you nor have a chance to hear the good news about you. Father, please would you help us as individuals and as a church to show concern for the world? Would we be prayerful people? Would we long to see people around the world praise you? And Father, would you help some of us to consider going? Please be at work in us, Lord. Amen. Let me just flag up those two books that appeared on your screens earlier on in the talk. Lots of us have a little bit of extra time now we're in lockdown. And why not take it as an opportunity to read something about mission? Those two books are going to appear on the screen. And either one of them would stoke your passion and fire for World Mission. Why not take this time as an opportunity to read one of them?